Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hey, come on, Central Campus. Absolutely outstanding. What an honor it is to be in this house tonight. What an honor. And while you're still standing, I want you to give these guys, I think, honestly, I had the privilege and the honor of being here last night at that what's it called? Hero. That would be, all those people who stood who were part of that, that would have to be the best presentation I have ever seen of that particular Resurrection Sunday, guys. Come on. That was outstanding. To all the guys who were involved in that, you guys are amazing. That is amazing. It made my eyes sweat last night. I don't know if anyone else had that problem, but my eyes were sweating severely on the front row last night. Maybe it's just a front row thing. Maybe it was the smoke. I don't know. But that was very powerful. Oh, my goodness, that was good. Hey, I want you to give these guys, though. Half of them have disappeared. Are you still here? Yeah, well, you guys are amazing. Why don't you put your hands together? There you are over there. Oh, my goodness. Is it Augustine? You are amazing, girl. I love your freedom in delivering what God wants to flow through you. And man alive, God, there's an anointing on this girl. And everything, and obviously without your incredible team, you'd be hopeless. But nonetheless, can I say this to you, that you are amazing and you carry an incredible ability to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you. And I have no doubt, I mean, come on, who had a miracle tonight while we were worshiping? I mean, sheesh. I mean, don't wait for the preacher. Mate, there were miracles in here tonight while you were worshiping. From this moment on, there's going to be miracles flow out of your mouth. When you get up there to worship, there's going to be miracles flow out of your mouth. You're going to look at people. You'll see them in here. You'll see something break over their life. God's going to give you a supernatural insight where you will see the breakthrough. And as you worship, you will breathe out and the supernatural power of God will go and bring, oh boy, there goes the anointing on you. Mighty woman of God, carry the anointing right there. Hallelujah. Jesus. Not much room on it. I tell you, it's such an honor to be in here. Pastor Jürgen and Leanne, I know you're not here, but I love you guys. And Jürgen and I have been friends forever. I laugh about it because we've had some crazy times. It does always make me laugh. And he's probably told you all those crazy stories, has he? Just a few of them. Don't believe. Most of them are unbelievable, okay? Some of them are. They did actually happen. You guys are amazing. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. I want to thank some people before I get preaching because otherwise I seem to forget to thank anything. And so I want to thank the people that have set this out here tonight and made it incredibly comfortable for us all. I want to thank the people that somehow made this look good for tonight after whatever happened here last night. You're amazing. You're looking after this? You're looking after this? Drew, you're looking after it? Matt? Matt and Laura, I don't know. I just love you all. You're fantastic. Just let's say, Matt, you're a legend, mate. I love your heart, man. I love you. Drew, I love you. I don't love you guys at all. You're guys. We're mates. Your wives are fantastic. You're just incredible. And Mr. Youth Part, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Okay, Brianna, is he looking after you? Oh, it's not Brianna. Well, where is she? Separate yourself from the proper woman, for goodness sake. Anything could happen. Lucky I'm not prophesying, I'm just talking to you. That could be dangerous. Sit beside your wife, please. Love you guys. You're absolutely amazing. Sound people, I want to thank you for the incredible job that you do. Ushers and people. Ushers and people who make this, the drivers who have driven me around, and my great friend Paul, we've been friends forever, and we used to play rugby against each other, and so we're still sparring. And but I want to thank everybody who's made this meeting a possibility tonight. I think the worship was unbelievable. It set you up for miracles all over this place, and I just want to say, get ready for God to do miracles. I just want to say, I can feel miracles in there. I believe there's going to be miracles in here tonight. I believe there's going to be. I'm just feeling, even right now, before you sit down, I just want to say this, that I believe there's going to be like three, maybe four types of miracles going to happen here tonight, okay? There's going to be physical miracles, okay? Physical miracles in your physical body. There's going to be miracles. If you need one of those, get ready for it. There's going to be spiritual miracles where heaviness, I feel that there's been people who've walked in here with like a band around your head, with heaviness in your spirit. You're carrying that. Tonight you're walking out of here feeling freer than you've ever felt in your life. There's going to be people that are radically set free. Chains, I think some have already had it. You just need me to tell you you've had it. Because when Augustine was leading the worship tonight, you had to have a miracle. I had one myself on the front row. My goodness, you just need to be made aware that there are miracles in the atmosphere. I think you did a great job, Drew, of telling us that. Like, honestly, there are miracles in the atmosphere. So receive that. There's going to be miracles here in people's finances. I see some people who don't have a house, I see you getting a house, okay? I see that literally happening. And in the next year, God's going to open up that possibility for you. And there's going to be a house that you will be able to purchase through a breakthrough that God's going to give you in people around you and concepts and what God wants to do. I also believe that in this place tonight, there's going to be people that are going to have the ability to step through in their faith and become miracle workers. Because the biggest thing in the world would be. So in the next 35 minutes, we're activating this place as a miracle zone. And we're believing right now, get ready to receive that home. Get ready to receive it. Get ready to receive that physical miracle. That lady that's here that needs, that's got an incredible passion and hunger. That couple for a baby. I believe right now, in the next 35 minutes, we're activating heaven, and we're going to speak over your womb, and we're going to declare right now, and we're going to activate the promises of God. Obviously, it won't happen here, but you're going to get your miracle. In the next 3 months, you're going to get a miracle in Jesus' name. So get ready for that. I'll drink to that. There's a young person here tonight, and you're in the valley of decision right now. You don't know which way to turn. You don't really have clear, you can't get it clear in your head. It's like this confusion there. Something's going to snap in the atmosphere tonight, and you're going to be able to see and know that God's purpose in your life is going to be incredibly, incredibly clear and concise. You're going to hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. You're going to wake in the middle of the night and get a direction from God, and you're going to go that way. And I want to tell you right now, obey the step of God. Obedience is better than sacrifice every time, every time. Obedience is better than cheerfulness. You can be the happiest person in the world, but God wants obedience. For Abraham, you better believe for Abraham, the obedience was better. It wasn't nice, but it was better to sacrifice his son. But God honors obedience, and he releases generations, and he releases a future into your life that will be, and oh boy, sir, standing right there with the glasses on, your beautiful wife, I hope, that's you. I want to tell you right now, even in this meeting tonight, God has already done what he said he would do. You're going to walk out of here tonight. There's a divine appointment on your life. There's an incredible destiny that's purposed in your heart. And God says, I want you to rise up, and I want you to begin to run with what I've put on your life. Because God said, I don't want you just being stagnant with it. I want you to operate. And even as you've been faithful in what I have given you, that's what God's saying, is you've been faithful in what you got. Get ready. There's a whole lot more coming that way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You. I think we should pray. Let's pray. If you've got a Bible, or hopefully you haven't got it on your iPhone, but if you've got a Bible here, hold it up in the air. We're going to pray. If you've got it on your iPhone, your iPad, that's okay. We're not going to go against you. I just do want to say this, that I want people to know that I'm reading the Word of God. When I pull this out on an aeroplane and gently put it down on the tray in front of me, and the person beside me doesn't think I'm checking my likes on Facebook. Not that you're meant to do that on an aeroplane anyway, but they can tell that you are into the Word of God. And stuff happens when you're in God's Word, because it's this Word that shapes your life. It's this Word that'll get you through that storm. It's this Word that'll take you beyond where you can see right now. If it's cloudy right now, the Word of God. Wake up in the morning, apply this to your life. This thing here will steer you, direct you, and guide you. I believe in the Word of God. I stand upon this thing for every decision I make. I want to tell you, the choices I make in life are founded on the Word of God. Hopefully my message tonight will be founded on the Word of God, because this is what sets people free. It's God's Word. It's not 3 points in a poem. It's not Reader's Digest, nice 3-point poem. It's the Word of God that sets people free. It's the Word of God that unlocks faith in your life and causes you to run and not grow weary, walk and not faint, jump over the barriers that are before you. And I believe there are people here that are going the extra mile tonight because God's Word. That's why I say, let's hold up the Word of God. Not only that, if you're anything over the age of 40, or I should say 30, and you've got children, when they look at you, it's good if they see you with this in your hand and not your iPhone. Otherwise, they think you're playing the same games they're playing. Otherwise, they think you're just checking out your mates like they are. When my grandchildren see me reading this, it reminds them that Granddad has got his eyes on the Lord, and they can look up to this, and they can get a pinpoint of direction for the rest of their life by looking and observing, because they will observe. So I challenge you tonight. I have mine on the iPads, iPhones, and all that, but man, I've taken to the Word of God because I want people to be aware that this is the key that will unlock your life. So hold it up tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, we release and we activate the supernatural power of God right across this place. And in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, let your Word produce a harvest tonight. Let your Word produce miracles. Let your words produce faith in Jesus' name. And God, I ask right now that out of this meeting tonight, that you would do something so strategic in the city of San Diego and beyond, through power and anointing that comes on our lives, that would shift people into a dynamic to reach the lost in Jesus' name, to break the shackles in our world, and to bring freedom to our nations in Jesus' name. So Lord, raise up evangelists, raise up preachers, raise up incredible men and women of God, raise up businessmen in this place tonight, raise up mighty men and women, Lord, awesome mothers, incredible mothers that will change the nation in Jesus' name, that will be an example, and raise kids, Lord, that have an incredible passion for the things of God. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, be seated now if you can. And let's do something. Don't know why we even say that. Let's do something. One verse I want to just give you before we get started, because I really felt it as I was sitting down there. In fact, it's more than one verse, about three verses. But it's Mark 11:22 says, simply Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Did you get that? Yeah. Have faith in God. Sir, with the hat on right there, on the end of the row, behind the beautiful blonde girl with the high on in front of you, that you were talking to, is that why you're sitting there? No. Sir, with the hat on, I believe tonight that God is putting his hand on your life. If I could run up here, I'd have to jump over seats, which is very difficult. But I want you to receive something tonight. I believe it is what I believe anyway, it's better caught than it is taught. So you're going to catch something in this meeting tonight that's going to unlock whatever held you in the past, and it's going to release you into your destiny and into your purpose in God. Because I believe God's been speaking to your heart in a powerful way, and I believe this is your time and this is your season. And I would stir your faith tonight, that I believe right now, God, impart faith into that man's life right there to unlock the supernatural in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe. So where were we going? We were going to Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Then in verse 23, he said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he has said, it will be done unto him. Therefore ask, believing, and whatever you believe, it shall be done. I believe tonight there are supernatural miracles in this place. I'm trying to think of a title because I didn't want to repeat this morning's title because who the heck knows what you'd do with the podcast? I wouldn't have a clue. So I'm trying to think. I just think, God, open our eyes, or let me call it right now, go again. Let's just call it go again, okay? We'll title it go again. And who are you going to go to? It's Sunday, for goodness sake. Let's go to Jesus. He rose from the dead here last night. So go to Jesus. Let's title it, go to Jesus. He's the one who can rescue you. He's the one who can set you free. He's the one who has the answers for you tonight. And I would say, in agreeance with Paul here tonight in Hebrews 12 verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yee-haw. That might be a Kiwi team, but it's yee-haw anyway. Get excited about it, because I want to tell you, God wants to do stuff in your life, and he doesn't want you to be normal, and he doesn't want you to be average. God, Jesus didn't rise from the dead so you could be ordinary. Jesus rose from the dead so we could be extraordinary, so we could crack some stuff, so we could do some stuff, so we would carry something on our lives. I believe that you carry, every person carries something on their lives. It's what you go after, it's what you pursue, and it's who you seek. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I would sooner have Jesus than anything. David said, I would sooner spend 1,000 years as a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than anywhere else on the planet. We're in church tonight. You can't get a better atmosphere to release hope, to release dreams in your life, to release your capacity to dream again. I believe hope's coming to some people tonight that have lost their hope. It's so easy to lose your hope. It's so easy in this world right now to lose hope and begin to look in the rear vision mirrors of life and start to see what was happening in your yesterday. But I want to tell you, let's get our eyes off yesterday and let's refocus and fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, and let's go again with what we started, because the way we started is the way God is bigger than your limitation. We love to limit ourselves, but God is not limited in any way. In fact, last time I read the Bible, he's a God of more than enough. He refuses to be limited. He refuses to be minimized. Even when we try to do it, you might bring in 10 vessels. He says, what are you doing that for? I got enough for 100 vessels. We try to limit God all the time. We try to put him into our mindset, into our box, and we start to look through. If we're not careful, we get so narrow, we're looking through the keyhole with both eyes at the same time. God wants to increase our capacity and enlarge our faith. And I believe it's only as we begin to step out in God and believe, if God be for us, who can be against us, in Jesus' name. So I want to challenge you a little bit on that. I want to challenge you that create, and my first point is this, create a new norm in your life. Create a new normal. I mean, I'm sick of the old normal. I am consistently reinventing myself. Reinvent yourself. I think you should reinvent yourself every 7 years. I think we get stuck in a rut. If you're not careful, even Pentecostal can become religious. Even this guy, we turn up. If you're not careful, we turn up at the meeting and we come as attenders, and we sort of come as observers. And if you're not careful, you come with a skeptical mind thinking, yeah, really? Did that really happen? And we start to reason it out. Nothing happens where there's reason. Read your Bible. Read Luke chapter 5 and find out when those boys arrived and there were a whole lot of people that were just attending. It says Jesus was preaching the word, and the house was jammed full, and nothing was happening. Until four boys, it could have been two girls and two boys, who knows? Probably three girls and two and one boy, actually. But they arrived carrying someone on a stretcher, and these were the only people who had arrived at the meeting with expectation. Wow. But they couldn't fit in because there were a heap of people there who were just observers. They were sitting back, just leaning back, trying to work out, is that for real? Oh, yeah, maybe, I don't know. But here arrived these four people who were excited and passionate and looking for something. And expectation was at an all-time level high, like it is in here tonight. They were leaning forward. Friend, you've got to be leaning forward if you want to catch something from God. You won't catch it if you're leaning back. You've got to be leaning into it. Leaning in. God, I want it. I'm hungry for it. God, I'm more hungry than I've ever been. I'm 63 years old. I'm more hungry and more passionate than I've ever been in my life because it doesn't run out. You might have forgotten how good it was to get where you are. I'm amazed how easily we forget. If I'm not careful, I forget that I was paralyzed just 8 years ago, paralyzed from the neck down. You can easily forget that. When I jump up on a stage, when I go for a run, when I do that sort of stuff, it's easy to take it for granted and think, oh yeah, this is awesome. But man, I want to tell you, when you've been there and now you're here, you are excited and you are passionate about the God you serve. And you are building. Create a new norm in your life is what I'm trying to say. Make you a new norm, an excited norm. Stop looking down and start looking up and live like that. Live with that kind of passion in your world. It'll change your environment. You'll get on airplanes. You'll start reading the living, life-giving book called the Word of God, and people beside you will start crying. And I think I shared that story last time I was here, so we're not going to do it again. But that's the kind of stuff that happens. And then you wonder, and if it's a girl crying beside you, you're in trouble anyway. I think I told that last time I was here, didn't I? Yes, I did. I'll drink to that. We haven't got time to tell it again, but just an amazing story and still in contact with that lady. But I want to tell you this. Here's what I want to tell you right now, that if we create a new norm, God will position us for opportunities of favor. And there are 1,000. My Bible says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, looking for someone in whom he can show himself strong. Is that you tonight? Is that you tonight, sir? Is that you, sir, up there tonight? Is that you, ma'am, sir, right there that I had a word for before? Is that you, sir, right on the end of the row there? Sir, in the dark, the greenish sort of shirt with the wife beside you. Hope that's your wife, is it? Yeah, some of you sit beside your wives. With the striped top on, I believe that you guys, I tell you right, you're positioned in the right place at the right time for God to take hold of your lives and create the dynamic of the Spirit that would open opportunities, bring victory, and a breakthrough is right on the doorstep of what you're going for right now. So keep walking in that direction, because all you got to do, Paul and I have been through a few storms together. We do a lot of sailing together. Sailed from New Zealand to Fiji a little while ago, and I want to tell you right now, you'll strike some big storms there. Storms that could put fear in the heart of a normal person, but not a person who creates a new normal where fear doesn't fit in a new normal, okay? So all we do is reposition the sail, and then we get more power and we reach our destination. Reposition your sail. God's about to do something extraordinary in your world, and I want to tell you, keep your eyes on the goal in Jesus' name. That's all you've really got to do, is keep your eyes on that goal that you're heading for. Create a new norm in your life and allow God to do the miraculous, okay? Are you with me? Put a new norm in your life, and let's go for that in Jesus' name, okay? And I tell you, I've got so much good stuff here for you. I'm thinking, I really want to pray for people, because I'm feeling tonight there's such an anointing here, and he is your healer, not another word. It's not another word. It's not another fancy 4 points. You don't need 4 points. I will tell you this, just in stirring you, that you will strike difficulties in life, okay? I need to warn you that, because some people think it's just a breeze. Some people think, people are always asking me, oh, Don, man, can you give me your anointing? Can you put your anointing on me? Can you, man, I want to have what you've got. I want to do what you do. I want to have that sort of happening. Friend, I want to tell you, I'm not too sure you want it. I tell you what, we've walked through hell. We've been in the darkest valley you could have. But here's what I do want to say in the middle of that, okay? Is it still worth it? Do I have any regrets? Not one regret in the world. Is it still worth it? Yes, it is. Because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And even when you're in your darkest valley, he promises that he will be there for you. All you've got to know is how to find the secret place. And if you have the keys in your life that unlock the secret place, you will never be without hope. You will never be without hope. And you can rise up again and you can run again. We're celebrating celebrating today. Thank God it's Sunday. What an incredible theme. What an incredible theme. Because I believe that that theme gives us hope for the future, because Jesus we serve did rise from the dead. There were three crosses. He crossed out your sin, your failures, and your pitifulness. Jesus rose from the dead, and that should be enough. But and so my next point is that what about Jesus walking with you? Because I think too many people walk alone. I think too many times we don't realize. I love that thing you did last night because it had an incredible key to it, the show where I saw the demons came out of you, and you all would have seen it, and the demons came out, and then they said, "He can see us." I don't know if you caught, well, you must have, because you guys made it. But to me, that was incredibly powerful. Because I think sometimes we get confused and we think we're just living normal. You're not living normal. Jesus lives inside of you. When you look out, He looks out. He can see all that. We live in a very spiritual world, guys. We fight not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. This is the reality of life. We need to know how to carry that in our lives. If we're going to believe that God is with us, let's get ready for some more miracles. I'm not talking about in church. It should be easy to get miracles in church. We're sort of all mostly on the same page. It's when we get out of here into the secular world. That's where we want to see it happening. We want people following us into church, and we want them coming because they've experienced the love of God through what we're bringing to them. And it shouldn't be a hard thing. It should be natural. We don't have to be weird to be like that. We just have to be normal. And the more normal we are, the more powerful we are. Because I find that when we get weird, it puts people off. But if we're just normal, if we just have a little bit of fun in life, if you just enjoy life, if you just, man, you are Jesus incarnate in the flesh in reality because He's living in you. When I turn up, the atmosphere changes. When you turn up, the atmosphere changes. Let's create a new norm. Let's make it where we turn up, the doubt leaves, fear leaves, hope comes, destruction goes, fear gets out the door in Jesus' name. I got a phone call a little while ago. Share this with you. Well, we all get phone calls all the time, of course. This specific phone call. Incidentally, do you like my haircut?
Yep. Love it.
Thank you. I got this haircut. Here's a funny story for you. This is a good way. You know, I get my haircut. I've got my own group of barbers. They're cool guys, and they like me, and we're always... I'm trying to get them into church, and they're cool dudes. They're Iraqis, and they're really cool, and they have the sharpest barbershop in town, and I'm building a relationship with them. And anyway, and haircuts are too expensive, and I was in a hurry a little while ago, and I knew I was coming to America and I wanted to do a haircut, so I thought I'd have a go myself. So how does it look? Because here's what happened. My wife said to me, Julia, the beautiful Julia, she said, please tell me you're not going anywhere with that haircut. So it was obviously a little longer than this. And so she said, you have got to go to a real barber. What were you thinking you were doing? I said, trying to save a buck. And I was just in a hurry. I wanted it done. And I went to the barber. And when I got there, I walked in. And the first thing he said, where on earth did you get that haircut? Nobody wants to fess up and say, like I did that to myself. That would just be stupid. And so I was thinking, how do you ever, like, where did you get that terrible haircut? And I thought, there's no way I'm telling him I did it at home. And this is just, maybe there's a lesson here for someone. Once you start to tell lies, there's no end to it. Because I said, actually, I got it done by another barber. Because I didn't want to own it. And then he said, well, where the heck was that barber? He shouldn't be in business. I said, he's in Australia. I said, I was just over in Australia. I didn't want to blame New Zealand barbers for it. I said, I was just over visiting Australia. And he said, man alive, what sort of a barber was he? I said, and it's going out of control. It's like all I wanted to do was just get it off of me. Now he keeps asking all these questions. So what did this barber look like? Was it a real business? And then I said, and he said, what did he look like? And I said, well, he was bald. That was it. He totally cracked up. He couldn't cut my hair. He was laughing too much. He stopped the whole shop and he called all the barbers. There's 8 barbers in the place. He called them over and he said, come over here, you guys. You got to see. This guy went to a bald Australian barber and look what happened to him. And anyway, so I've got a new haircut. I think they did a very good... They repaired me, especially to come to you guys, okay? Anyway, I don't know why I told you that. Don't tell lies, all right? Don't tell lies. Because you can't stop them. Now when I go back, he says, are you ever going back? And I've had to break the truth. You know, you can't leave those things going, so you just got to get it right, you know. And I would say to people here tonight that you can't let stuff keep going in the wrong direction if you want to know the power of God in your world. Because, you know, we talk about holiness, and we talk about holiness kind of a little bit flippantly, but I think holiness is the thing where we stay accountable with God. Because I want the power of God in my life. I don't want to live a boring life. I want to have the power of God in my life. So I'm just going to share this one story, then we're going to pray for sick people here, okay? Because I believe that miracles are going to happen. Let's put Jesus in his right place tonight, and let's believe that whatever God is wanting to do, we give him the ability to release it in this place, all right? So Jesus cancels the past. He cancels your failures. He cancels your sin, and he sets you up to be a person who carries the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. I get a phone call from my uncle, and he says, you need to know that Ray's really crook, really sick. Obviously, if someone's sick, you're going to... And Auntie Ray's very close to me. She lives in Australia, actually. She's in Australia. So I said, okay, I'm going to come over and see her because I want to see her. And so I didn't. Was no hurry. A week later, I get another phone call, and they said, listen, you better come quickly because we've just been told that she's probably got 2 weeks to live. And so it's like I hadn't planned the trip yet, you know what I mean? And so 2 weeks to live, so I quickly planned a trip, and it looked like we could arrive in about 8 days. We could get some free time and we could arrive there. So we set up the trip and we're flying. And the day before we flew, they phoned up and they said, cancel your trip, it's not worth coming. She's gone unconscious and she's not responding to anything. And it looks like they're telling us she won't last the night. And I said, no, we've got the tickets now, we're still coming. So we still decided that we would still go because I believe that it was a destiny appointment, okay? So we hop on the aeroplane, we fly into Brisbane Airport, and they meet us at the airport and they said, well, we're very sorry, it looks like you're too late. We all hate being too late. You don't want to miss what God's about to do. Man, get the front seats. Get ready for what God wants to deliver in this church. I believe it's great what God's about. So anyway, we turn up. I said, no, take us to the hospital. We go down to the hospital, and there it is. We walk into a room. There's about 18 people in the room. They're all in terrible states of, you know, it's horrible when someone too young goes. And she was just 69, and it was too early. And we walked in there, and what do? You know, we're all in the same boat. And I want to say there's an anointing here tonight that you'll catch that'll raise dead, set captives free, and unlock promises of God, okay? And so we walked in there, because I'm just a normal guy. If you don't believe that, ask my wife, ask Paul. He'll tell you. Pretty normal. But we have an awesome God. And so we went down there and we walked into the hospital room, and it's like it's horrible. It's got, you can almost smell death. I've realized that the Christ in me can sense this stuff. I can sense death. I can smell it almost. I can pick it up. I can catch when there's a demonic spirit influencing somebody, and we can break that thing off and set them free. That's what we're meant to be doing. This is the power that's in us. So we walk into the room and it's real normal, and I didn't go in there like start shouting hallelujah or anything. Just walked up to the side of the bed and took her hand and said, I speak the resurrection power of Jesus Christ over your life. There hasn't been any movement for several days. All of a sudden, her eyes pop open and she yells out in quite an audible voice. She says, fear has just gone and faith has come into the room. And I want to tell you, the power of God visited that hospital room right there. Jesus turned up in that room. Now, it wasn't wasn't because we're holy and cool and all that. It was just because Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, I said to her, and God gave me a vision almost immediately, and I saw her lying there, and I saw she had a disease called myeloma, which is going to take you out. And I said, here's what I see. I see a set of scales on the top of you, and myeloma is sitting on you, and the scale of praise is empty, and God is about to shift that. We need to turn this into a praise meeting. Right there, she hasn't moved for days, and she lifts up her arms and begins to worship Jesus, and she starts to give him the praise. And I want to tell you, as we watched, myeloma shifted off her life, and healing and restoration came for her life, and she is now home, healed, and walking around because God is on the throne. Now I believe, and I want to tell you, this is the sort of stuff that God wants to activate his people with. There are too many broken people in our society. There are too many broken people. And if never, this church is not going to be big enough for God, what God's about to do, if two or three of us grab a hold and start reading the book of Acts and start putting our name in different pages in the book of Acts and say, God, I see myself operating in there. I see myself happening right there. In fact, put your name as you read it and say, God, that's where my expectation goes, because we're creating a new norm, and we're going to live in a new norm, and we're going to create a new norm where people come in wheelchairs and go out walking, where people come in broken and go home whole, where they come in with a busted marriage and they go home with a healed marriage in Jesus' name, where people come in and they've lost their dream or lost their mind, and we activate hope and truth in their life, and they go home believing that there's hope again. So I believe that in this meeting tonight that God's about to activate the supernatural and heal you and deliver you. Now, here's the best thing about it. See, we all think that. We all get excited about healing, and healing is good, and I love healing too. And healing's fantastic, and I've seen lots of amazing. Paul went to Fiji the other day looking for a girl that got raised from the dead that we had come into a meeting 30 years ago, and she got raised from the dead. And Paul's been on a search to try and find her. And I think that's really exciting, and I can't wait until he tracks her down, to be honest with you, because it'd be just neat to reconnect, you know. She was just a little kid at the time. But here, let me tell you, that's not the best story. The best story is one person who surrenders their life to Jesus Christ. The best person. The best miracle is the broken person who has no hope. The best person is the secular, I'm trying to think what you call them, the movie star person, the celebrity, who phoned me up a little while ago and said, could you please come? There's something wrong with our house. And so, not a Christian, nothing to do with Christian, and so would you come, because we think we need to get a demon out. Everybody knows about this stuff. We saw it on the play last night, but people kind of play with this, but it's a reality. People are troubled. I said, what's happening? He said, I'm getting dragged out of bed in the middle of the night. And he said, it's scary. I don't know what to do. He said, my girlfriend can't walk in the room any longer. She's shaking in fear just before she can't walk into the room. And I said, no problem. We'll turn up. And so I turn up. When I turned up, there wasn't two of them. There was like 12 of them in the house. And I said, I thought you said there was just a two. He said, no, all these people have come to see an exorcism. And I said, well, that's dumb, because there's not going to be. Number one, it's not about an exorcism. I said, when I walked in here, every demon's gone in Jesus' name. Already they've submitted to the power of a holy God. We're Pentecostal. Don't forget who you are. We had the power of God. We are Book of Acts. Jesus said, I'm going, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and you will have authority and power to break everything. Anyway, so I sat down with him. I said, you guys are in real trouble, because when I kick this devil out, he's looking for somewhere to go, and it's probably you. Their eyes were huge. They thought they'd come to see some sort of a show. I said, this is not a show. This is the reality of life. And I said, let's go into the room. And they started following me into the room. And as we went walking, and I walked in, no sweat. I'm not afraid of the devil. We kick his butt. We stand on his head like we did last night in Jesus' name. He came in shaking and trembling, and then the girl came to the door and she burst into tears and she could not come through. And so right then I said, okay, let's kick this devil out, guys. And we booted the devil out of that house. I said, come on in, honey. And she walked into that room and the devil's gone and freedom's come and peace is gone. And then I said, okay, this is where we're just starting right now. And before we left the house that night, every single one of them surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. He's the one, and that's what it's all about, because he wants. And I said to them, Jesus needs to come in here and live here. Now, I'm closing now, and I'm going to drink to that, because God is amazing. Create a new norm in your life. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes? I believe there are people here right now that need to create a brand new norm in your world and allow Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. And I'm going to ask you tonight, because right across this place, I believe there's 20 people here tonight that need to get right with God. There's 20 people here tonight, God's already spoken to your heart. God's already dissolved every fear and dissolved every doubt. Can I say this to you tonight? I believe, and it's a strange thing, but I love my little grandkids now, and then they give them to me to care for, which is scary, giving them to me. And so there's a big accountability there, and I took them to the beach. And I'm at the beach and I told them, just stay in front of me. And then I easily get distracted. And next time I look up and they're not there. And I'm like, where the heck am I? I mean, my sons-in-laws and daughter-in-laws are going to kill me. Where's my children? And I looked down the beach and they'd got, it wasn't a bad rip, but they'd drifted down the beach, just with the undertow had drifted them down the beach. Now, I believe there are people here like that tonight. You want to be in the dead center of God's will, but you've drifted. The tide of life has drifted you away from his presence and away from his goodness. I believe tonight God is about to unlock you and get you back online with his incredible way. You're going to hear the voice of God again. Never underestimate the voice of God. You're going to hear it again. Now, there's another group of people here tonight that need to hand God the key to your heart and say, God, I'm giving you the keys. I want you to unlock my heart and come and live in my life right now, because I want to get my life back on track. I want to live for you tonight. So right across this place, while heads are bowed, friend, I want to invite you tonight to make the best decision you've ever made in life. Jesus has a plan for your life. Jesus rose from the dead so you could have the victory. He rose from the dead so you would not be afraid of the future, but you would have an eternal hope, not just in this moment we're in right now, but in God's eternal plan for your life. So I'm going to ask right across this place, from my left to the right now, friend, you need to give Jesus the keys to your heart tonight. And I'm going to ask you right now, just lift your hand up and say, here they are, Lord, I'm giving them to you. Unlock my heart. Jesus, I want you in my heart. Why don't you lift your hand right now? I believe there are people right now. God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Right up the back there. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. That's so awesome. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Right over there. God bless you. Thank you, sir. That's absolutely brilliant. Thank you, sir. Who else is here tonight, friend? There's others right now. There's people that have drifted off course. God's saying, come on, come on. I want you back in line. I want you to get back on. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, sir. That's absolutely awesome. Thank you. Thank you. In fact, thank you is the wrong word. I give praise to God that he arrested your attention tonight. I give thanks to God because he has captured your heart. Who else is it right now? Somebody needs to get right with God tonight. You've been wandering, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for that incredible miracle right there. For that miracle there. Thank you, Lord God, for that young woman. Thank you for the miracle in her life. For the miracle in your life right there. Right. Oh, God, I give you praise. There's nothing like the moment we live in right now. This is a God moment. It's a moment of destiny. Is there anybody else before I close this altar call? I want to give you every opportunity, because I don't want to miss you, friend. I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss out on this opportunity for your life. I believe this could be the most significant moment in time for you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. In the right place at the right time tonight, let me tell you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just as we close this altar, is there one more person tonight? Is there one more? Yeah, God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. So awesome. God bless you. So awesome. So awesome. Thank you, honey. That's so, God bless you. God bless you. That's amazing. Why don't we all stand to our feet right across this place right now? Hope you got healed while I was preaching, because we ran out of time. Here's what I want to do right now. Every person who made that commitment tonight, God, here's the keys to my heart. Unlock it. Come on in right now. God, here's my hand. I've drifted out of sight, but I want to get back where I need to be, right in front of you. God, I want to get back in line with what you're doing in my life. I want the power of God to flow through my life. I want to be a living instrument. I want to create a new norm in my life from this season, and I want to go with God. Let's pray this prayer. I'm going to ask everybody in the house to pray this with us. I believe right now that God is doing stuff here that will recreate your future and unlock you from your past in Jesus' name. Let's pray this together out loud, everybody. If you lifted your hand, if you're here as a participant tonight, not an observer, participant, lift your voice tonight and say, Jesus, I want to thank you for the amazing gift of salvation, the miracle of the cross. Thank you that you paid the price for my sin. That tonight, I can stand assured that my sin is gone. It's been crossed out. That this is my new day. And I invite you, come and live in my heart. Change my life. In Jesus' name, I give you praise for a new start. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap for every person.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.